Luke chapter 11. I'm sure glad you got to see me today. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here. Let's read the first 10 verses. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine and his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this day, for the opportunity we have to preach it, teach it, listen to it, fellowship with others. Lord, with the freedom that we have, we do give thee thanks. You've blessed us richly above all peoples that have ever lived. We thank you. Lord, we'd ask that you'd take your word and, Lord, apply it to every heart and life that's here. Help us, Lord, to know you better, to know how to pray better, to get answers to our prayers, to be the kind of soldiers you want us to be. Lord, I just pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We went last week up through verse 2 where it said, Our Father which art in heaven. Now, many people go ahead and pray this prayer just as it is. And I don't know if that's all wrong. I sometimes think rote prayers are really a problem. And people who pray just rote prayers, it becomes something like just counting off the multiplication tables and you don't really get a meaning and you don't pray like you ought to. And yet, here's what the Lord said. He said, pray this, say this. And so there are many that this morning in many a church across this town and across this nation around the world, the pastor will give his pastoral prayer and then he'll say, and we pray and everybody together will pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It'll be like a congregational reading almost. And some people have a lot of things like that. Now, a fellow as evangelistic and powerful as John Wesley wrote prayers, had books of prayers. I don't know, but what we might have some better prayers if we wrote them out. You reckon? You reckon they might be better thought out than some of them that you... Have you ever listened to yourself pray? You might ought to sometime. Put a tape recorder on yourself sometime and then listen to your own prayers. Could you find anything to criticize? Well, maybe they're not very deep. Maybe they don't spread very wide either, you know. I pray for me and my wife and my two sons, us four and no more. A lot of us pray like that, don't we? And you know, I'm not too worried about when you get sick, but when I get sick, boy, I get ready to pray. Isn't that right? We're pretty selfish in the way that we think, in the way we pray, and whatever. But what he's trying to show in this model prayer is how we ought to pray. The kind of praying that we ought to do. And I'm wondering if we do that kind of praying, as you think about it, how often do you realize that God is your Father in heaven? You know, he's not just God, he's Father. Now, I don't know whether that makes a lot of difference to you, it makes a lot of difference to me. I had a father that I was welcome. I knew. If I'd done bad, I was welcome. If I'd done good, I was welcome. I was his son. And he was my dad. And he would be there for me no matter what. And I happen to have a real good father. I thank the Lord for a good father. Not everybody has a good father, but I had a good father. And I'm really thankful for that, you know. And when I think of God as my father, boy, that's a warmer feeling. That's a closer feeling. That's an opportunity. I mean, a special privilege that I wouldn't have if I'm going to the President of the United States. I want something from the President of the United States. I'm an American citizen. You think I get in? No, I probably won't even get to see one of his aides. They'd be so far down the list to let me get in, but I can walk into my father's house Anytime. I don't care who's having to stand out there in line. I walk in through the side door, the kitchen door. I get into the house. There's no problem. I don't care how important my father is. He's my father. So I'm special. And that's what it is with God. But a beautiful thing to think of. You know who you're praying to? I'm praying to the mighty God of the universe. I'm praying to this powerful being that spoke this world into existence. Yes, but I'm praying to my Father. So when I go in prayer, yes, I know how powerful He is. I know what He can do. I know the tremendous power that's in just His Word. And yet when I go to Him, I go to my Father. So He said, pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Now, as I said, I had a good earthly father. I have good memories of my earthly father. I'm thankful for the earthly father I had, but he was an earthly father. There's some things he just couldn't do. Ah, but my heavenly father, is there anything he cannot do? No. He's not restricted except by his own will, his own purpose, and my need maybe. He might be restricted by my need. He may think I need to go through what I'm trying to get out of. But he's wise enough that you know what, I can trust him. He's my father. He's not only the all-powerful God of the universe, he is my father. And boy, what a difference that makes. And you know, if we would go to the Lord, not just so much as the mighty God, but as father. You reckon our attitude would be a little bit different? Do you reckon that maybe even his attitude towards us might be a little bit different? I think it is. And so he said, pray. When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. He's a heavenly father. He's all powerful. He knows everything and he's all wise. He's going to do the right thing. And that gives me comfort when I go to him. Now, he said, hallowed be thy name. Second part of that, the name of the Lord. I'm amazed at how much I hear the name of the Lord when they're not talking about the Lord. Even Christians. Now, you'll excuse me, but Jesus Christ, they weren't talking to Jesus. They weren't talking about Jesus. They were just using a cuss word, an expletive. They were taking the name of the Lord in vain. Vanity is emptiness. It's a waste. Now, I have not heard anybody cuss this way. Lendell Kincaid. You ever hear that? Now, I'm sure some people felt like cussing when they thought of my name, but I'm saying, you know, they don't cuss that way. You know why? You know me. You know me. So you don't use the name that way. You know why people take the name of Jesus Christ and God the way they do? They don't know Him. What a tragedy when Christians get into the same type of habits. How about the name of the Lord? Is it important? Well, it's very important. The sign out there in the front shows we think something about the importance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meetings held here in His name. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Well, that's a pretty important thing. He didn't say where two or three are gathered in the name of Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian or Episcopalian. He said, in my name. What is his name? His name is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name. And that's the name we meet in. By the way, that's the name I preach in. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do in word, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing some preaching or teaching in word, and I'm doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Word or deed. You know, I'm knocking on people's doors. I'm not knocking on people's doors for this church or for some organization. I'm knocking on doors for the Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, who I'm working for. I don't know who you're working for. I know who I'm working for. What about that name? It is important. It's so important to me that it separates me from a lot of other things. A lot of other ways of doing things. And you know, it's so important that He brought it up in this model prayer. The Lord Jesus said, when you pray to the Father, you say, our Father which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ought to be magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. Now we magnify sports stars. We magnify preaching stars. We magnify Hollywood stars. We magnify lots and lots of people in lots and lots of ways. And in fact, there's lots of times in churches where the fellow gets up to preach, they got a guest preacher, and he takes them a half an hour to tell you who he is and how great he is. It's pretty hard for him to live up to that, you know. Now that you've heard this great introduction, how's he going to live up to that? He's going to have to be one super preacher, after they get through introducing him. We got all sorts of stars. The name that ought to be lifted up is Jesus. By the way, that is the name of the Father. You can just look back in Isaiah 9:6 and find that out. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. It's an all-important name. Oh, it's a name that ought to be lifted up and glorified in our minds, in our lives, in our homes, in everything that we do. We ought to be glorifying Jesus Christ. And anything that doesn't glorify Jesus Christ and or that detracts from the name ought to be something we ought to just avoid. Be real careful what you do because, you see, you're messing with somebody's reputation. You're messing with somebody's testimony. If I give a bad testimony out, what does that do to the name of Jesus if I'm known as a Christian? And if I'm not known as a Christian, if you don't know me from Adam, it doesn't make any difference much what I do. But boy, you know me as a Christian. Why, that's a preacher of the gospel. Why, that's a brother in the Lord. Why, he professes to be saved. He even claims he's going to heaven. Well, then the way you take the name of Jesus Christ ought to change. I remember I was working for a friend of mine. In fact, right out here on Bandera Road, we were putting in a big tunnel, a 200-foot tunnel. I think it was 210 feet long, about 30 foot down in the ground, and the tunnel was 48 inches around. And it was a summer job, and I was sort of halfway running the job while he could go run other jobs. And one of the inspectors came up, and I was dealing with inspectors. And this inspector cussed and cussed and cussed, and for about 2 or 3 days, I listened to his cussing. I kept my mouth. I wouldn't want to hurt my friend. I wouldn't want to get him down on the job, you know, to where he'd make the job bad. So I'm sort of biting my tongue, you know. So one day, I said, you know, let me tell you about my friend. I said, the best thing ever happened to me is I got saved. And Jesus Christ forgave my sins, saved my soul, and changed my... He said, I'm a Christian. I said, well, you don't talk like it. Oh, you're a Christian. Well, boy, you opened the door for me right then. You're a Christian? Well, I wouldn't eat with a mouth like what you speak with. You're so filthy mouth. What kind of a testimony are you for Christ? You know, that man never said another cuss word in front of me the whole time the job went, the whole summer. he shut his mouth up right there. Is the man a Christian? I don't know. Do Christians cuss? Yes, they do. It's a shame, but they do. They shouldn't, but they do. What about me now? I still have a question in my mind. Is that man a Christian or not? Was he saved or not saved? He quit cussing as soon as he found out I was a preacher of the gospel and I witnessed to him and rebuked him. Oh, he quit his cussing right then. Now, I don't know whether he cussed at every other job, but he didn't cuss on that job anymore at any rate. What about the name of Jesus Christ? When people see you, what does it do for the name of Jesus? Huh? Do they think Jesus is a good guy or do they think Jesus is a fake? Do they think Jesus is the savior of the world? He can really change lives? Or do they think, boy, that's a poor example. What kind of life do you live? And how do you pray? Have you thought about when you're praying about honoring the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you pray for his name to be honored? Maybe you ought to ask for that. Hallowed be thy name. Where should we glorify the name? It doesn't need to be glorified in heaven. I guarantee you it's glorified in heaven. It needs to be glorified right here. You know why I got saved when I got saved? Because I'd heard about the name of Jesus. I'd heard that if a sinner would call upon Jesus, he'd get saved. And I called on Jesus Christ, and I got saved. It was that name. Man, that's the name we preach in. That's the name we work in. That's the name we pray in. That's the name you get answers to prayer in. That's the name you get saved in. Hallowed be thy name. Man, we ought to be lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe in your prayers, while you're talking to your Father in heaven, you ought to be trying or praying or asking or pleading that his name be revered and lifted up and glorified and magnified. Amen. Well, he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, there's a bunch of short sentences in here. You don't have to pray long prayers. In fact, I think sometimes our long prayers are really a detriment. I think we ought to pray short prayers. Pray many times you want to, but I really approve of short prayers. I don't always pray short prayers, but I approve of short prayers. And in fact, what he's saying right here, this is a pretty short prayer, you know. Not real big, not real long. Well, what are we praying for? Thy kingdom come. Now, I've had some good things happen to me in my life. I got saved on the first day of September, 1957. That's 43, almost 44 years ago. Wonderful day. I don't know how I could find a better day. I don't know in my life how I could find any better day. The day I got saved. Praise God for salvation. I married that lovely lady back there at the back, 45 and a half years ago. And, praise the Lord, that was a good day. Man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And if you find a good wife, you're especially lucky. Not everybody finds a good wife, you know. Amen. If you find a good wife, one that'll stick with you, you're especially lucky. Praise God for that. That's a good day. Oh, listen, I've had some good days. I remember one day I was visiting out in the country. I pastored this church out in West Texas, and I killed about a 5-foot diamondback rattlesnake. So I'm on the side of the road. I stopped my car, pulled out my sawed-off shotgun, and blew him away. And I felt so good about it. Cut off that rattler, you know, so you can brag about it a little bit. You know, you got the rattler of the rattlesnake that you killed. Sort of like getting deer horns or whatever. Went on down the road to an old farmer's house and led him to the Lord. I mean, when I was walking back, driving back, I said, "Woo! What a day! Kill a rattlesnake and win a soul." Is that a good day?
Amen.
There are some good days in life. I mean, there's some things that just really thrill you, just make it right somehow. There's some good days in life. Thy kingdom come. You know what's going to happen one of these days? The kingdom's going to come.
Amen.
You say, "Well, the kingdom's here now." That's right. Now, there's no doubt in my mind. Jesus Christ is in control of everything that's happening at this present moment. You may not think so. It may not look like it to you. You may think he lost the last election, but he's in control. I had a good friend that was from Kansas. I sort of had a dry wit. And I asked him one time, I said, "Brother Leonard," I said, "who'd you vote for?" He said, "Well, Brother Leonard." He said, "When I was young, I voted twice, voted against God both times and quit." What he meant was the guy he voted for didn't get in, so he must have been against God. He said, "I'm quitting voting against God." The guy quit voting. He didn't vote for anything. But I thought, that's a way to look at it. He said, "I voted against God both times." You know? Pretty interesting. God is in control. You don't see him in control. And sometimes if you happen to be the recipient of real evil, and some of us do, you know, evil comes upon the good and the bad alike. There are innocent people that go to jail, there are innocent people that are shot, there are innocent people that suffer great disease and troubles, and it's not any fault of their own. Because there's a whole lot of our lives that most of it's our fault. And we don't like to admit it, and we claim we're innocent, it's not our fault, it shouldn't happen to us, but in the truth of the matter is, if we all look back at it, it's your fault. You got a bad marriage? Well, you're the one who picked the one you married. I mean, you can't blame your daddy anymore, can you? I mean, used to you could blame him, but He might have picked the wrong girl or the wrong boy for you, but not today. You went out picking your own, aren't you? Well, you'd probably make the same dumb mistake again if you married again. Married second or third time, you'd do the same thing again. Be careful. Be careful. Thy kingdom come. Let me tell you what. All the troubles this world's seeing, they're going to be over. You know what's going to happen one of these days? Sin's going to be just put away. All your wicked thoughts are just going to disappear. Boom. Your old body that's wasting away, falling apart, your chest that has fallen, your hair that's gone, all of these things. I am going to be a 33-year-old male, perfect, forever. I'm looking forward to the day. I wouldn't want to go back to be 18. No. 33? Yeah, I might handle 33. Let me tell you something. We ought to be praying for the kingdom to come.
Amen.
Every time we sit down at the Lord's table.
That's
what he said. This do till I come. He's coming. We're giving a testimony to the world. We're saved. We're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He paid our debt. And we're going to do this till we do it new with you in the kingdom. I tell you what, thy kingdom come. You know what I'm looking forward to? The kingdom. That's the day. You know the day I'm looking forward to? That's the day. Now, I really don't mind dying. I just don't want it painful. You understand? I don't mind dying. That's no problem. I know where I'm going. I would just like for it not to be painful. I would like for it to be not slow either. A fast heart attack or a good car wreck. Boom. That sounds like a good way to go. Go to heaven. Just, man, I'm racing down the road at 90 miles an hour and all of a sudden I'm in heaven. Praise the Lord. Woo! That's a good day, right? Sound like a good day to me. I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm headed to glory. And when I get to glory, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. But you know what I'm praying for, and I do pray for it, and this taught me to pray for it? Lord, let your kingdom come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells us over in Peter, the reason why he has not come back, it's his long suffering. 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish. If you're in loss today, you're the reason why. God is looking for you to be saved. God's given me another opportunity to preach that you might be saved. God's given someone an opportunity to pray for you or to witness to you, or it's his long suffering and it's his mercy. But do you know the day comes when that long suffering ends? Boom. It's all over. And the kingdom's going to come. Now, you look around this world. It's just hard to imagine it disappearing. Got all these cell phones. Boy, they're making them better and better and better and better. You can just take your phone and get your stock quotes. I mean, man, they got so many little doomajiggers. I mean, Dick Tracy back when I was growing up in the comic books had his wrist radio. Never happened. Yeah. He had his wrist TV too. And we had, I can't think of the guy. It was a space guy. But he was traveling all out into space, you know. What? Buck Rogers. Oh, he's off into space. Yeah, right. Boy, we're there. We live in such a technological age. I mean, they're talking about now, but they do all sorts of things to your eyes. They can make you see so much better. They can put cuts on the back of them. They can do all sorts of things. My eyes, both my eyes been operated on, you know. They took my old lens out and dropped a plastic one in, you know, fit it in. I do pretty good. They replace your knees. If anything goes out, they just replace it. They're doing pretty good. Can you imagine all of this just ceasing? That's what's going to happen. I was a history teacher and an English teacher for over 20 years. And I love democracy. I taught democracy. I bragged on democracy. I love democracy. But you know, democracy is probably the most inefficient government in the world. Inefficient government. You know what the best government in the world is? An efficient, it's a kingdom. A dictatorship. A kingdom. We decide we want to put a 281 expressway out north of town. And we're going through a couple of parks lands, almost in Brackenridge Park. Well, look, some little Greenpeace people come over and say, you can't take that parkland. Oh, yeah, we're going to take the parkland. No, you can't take that parkland. And 10 years goes by, tied up in courts, and millions of dollars. And when they finally built it, they couldn't even put an interchange at 410. They're still trying to buy that thing out. That is a traffic headache to this day. Why? Because we're in a democracy. A king would say, I don't care anything about that park. I said put the thing there. The highway's there 10 years earlier. The best government in the world is a kingdom with a benevolent king. You know the problem with that theory, though? There aren't many benevolent kings. Most of them are as selfish as you are. Most of them want to help their friends and neighbors and kids just like you do. And so they promote their own things to your suffering and loss. So I like a democracy. With all of its added expense, with all of its added trouble, with all of the delays of putting up with everybody's ideas and all of the lawsuits and court cases, I like a democracy. Why? It's given the greatest freedom to the individual man of any government we've had on the face of the earth. Praise God. But you know what I'm looking for? I don't think I'm going to have a vote in the kingdom of heaven. Not a vote. I'm not even going to get to put my 2 cents in. My 2 cents won't matter because I'll have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords ruling over everything, and he'll do right.
Amen.
And I'll be happy with whatever he does. What could stop the suffering? Now, maybe you're here today and some of you are suffering. I just got a phone call this morning about someone suffering. And suffering's part of life. What could stop the suffering? The kingdom of God. What could stop the sin and the corruption and the graft and the murders and the rapes and the abuse and misuse? The kingdom of God. What is the answer to the world's problems? The kingdom of God. What about peace in the Middle East? You think they're going to get peace in the Middle East? Have you ever read this book? If you read this book, you're going to know they're not going to get peace in the Middle East. Now, it may not be the Third World War or the Fourth World War or the Fifth World War or the Sixth World War, but the last world war is going to start over there. Jerusalem. That's the place. They're not going to get peace. There'll be no peace between those people. And they can make the big show and they can do this and they can give concessions here and concessions there. It might last a week. It might last a month. It might last 3 years. But there'll be no peace in that land till his kingdom comes. until the capital of the world is Jerusalem with Jesus, the King of the world. Then there'll be peace. But only because he rules with a rod of iron. Not because the world is so happy. But thy kingdom come. Man, we ought to be praying for the kingdom to come. We ought to be working for the kingdom to come. We ought to be winning everybody we possibly can. You know, one of these days, some soul winner is going to speak to some person and going to win them, and that's the last one. And boom, the kingdom's going to come. Now, I don't know who that is. I don't know how anybody would know who that is. God knows who that is. But the long suffering of God will simply come to an end, and bang, right there, he said, it's over. All the opportunities you could have had, you've had. Now my kingdom's time has come. You know what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. That's going to be the same way with the kingdom. But hey, Jesus taught you to pray for his kingdom to come. There ought to be something you do about it then. You ought to be praying. You say, well, I don't know how I ought to pray. Well, he said pray for laborers, didn't he? Pray you the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I know how to pray. I know some things to pray for. I can pray for laborers, and I'll be doing right. God, we need more witnesses. God, we need more preachers. We need more missionaries. We need more people taking the Word of God and knocking on doors. We need more people preaching in the streets. We need more people at the rescue mission. We need more people in the nursing homes. We need more people in the neighborhoods. We need more people teaching Sunday school. Pray for laborers. What God said. He said, pray for laborers. Well, I know something else to pray for. I can pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, my little kingdom down here is very important to me. It really is. Mess with my little kingdom and see how important it is. Mess with your little kingdom and see how important it is. You don't like people messing with your life. You don't like people, don't mess with me. Instead of don't mess with Texas, don't mess with Lindell. Don't mess with Mark. Amen. Don't mess with Randy. He might forget he's a Christian for about 10 minutes. Then you'd be in real trouble, see. You don't want some of these guys to forget they got saved. You might be in real bad trouble if they really forgot they got saved. We ought to be praying for the kingdom to come because the kingdom is the next best great thing. You see, the world's tried every kind of government. All kinds. It's amazing. You look around all the different kinds of government. There's governments where women are in charge. Governments where it's a kingdom line. Governments where it's the most powerful man, the most powerful soldiers in charge. Governments where it's elected, you know, one way or the other. We just got all kinds of different governments, and you can just study government after government. But there's one coming where Jesus Christ is King, Lord of Lords. Be a government made up of righteousness and peace, and says everybody's going to have their own fig tree. Better learn to like figs. I like figs myself. I don't like Fig Newtons. I like figs. But I tell you what, boy. It's going to be a new world, a different thing. I thank God for it. You ought to be praying for that. When's the last time you prayed for the kingdom to come? Oh, God, this world's a mess. Would you hurry up and get us out of here? Oh, God, this world is a mess. Would you let your kingdom come? Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Finish the work. I'm ready to see the finished product. Well, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Now, do you doubt that his will is done in heaven? We know at one time it wasn't, in the sense that a third of the angels fell with Satan. So God had to force his will and remove some people from his work and his force and whatever. So heaven's had its rebellion. But when I think of heaven right now, I don't think of rebellion. I don't think of smart aleck servants. I don't think of smart aleck teenagers or smart aleck sinners. It looks to me like if somebody raised their voice like that, they'd just take a big fly swatter and go, just be nothing but a little grease spot on the wall where you were. God's will's done in heaven. Now, in one sense of the word, God's will's done in earth because he's in control and he can stop it all at this present moment. But in another sense of the word, God has given you a tremendous thing, freedom to make your own decisions. So it's God's will for you to make your own decisions. Even though decisions are wicked, sin, even though decisions hurt other people, God has given you that privilege, that opportunity to make your own decision. And by God giving you that will, in his will, the results are not always what God would want. So we see a world, because God has given freedom, where a lot of sin and a lot of hurt and a lot of harm. Some people have a real problem with that. They go back, well, how could God let this happen? I've had a mother just lost her baby, and she'd say, how could God let this happen? I've seen little children dying of cancer. Not old men dying of cancer. Little children dying of cancer. And a mother's question, how could God let this happen? Well, you got a lot of, questions. And you have to, by faith, trust God. Look out at the world, you see as much evil, maybe more evil than you see good. You see good, you see evil. What are you going to choose? You got a good God or a bad God? Well, the way you look at it. God's good, but that's the way I look at it. Another fellow down the road said, God's bad. Because look at the evil and all the trouble. Look at the wars. Look at all the killing. Look at all the things that are happening out there. Not everything we do in the freedom God has given us is His will. It would not be what He wanted. And yet, to have the freedom to make that choice is His will. Otherwise, you'd just be a little bunch of robots. Or you'd be some amoral things like cattle in a field. If you gored another cow or gored a man, it was just one of those things. No sin attached to it whatsoever. But God has made you with an opportunity to make decisions like He makes. You're like little gods. You can choose right or you can choose wrong. You can choose good, you can choose evil. You can choose life, you can choose death. You can choose to serve God or you can choose to serve Satan. God made you that way. Well, there's something we need to be praying for. He says, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. I need to be praying, God, let this world start obeying You. Let my life please You. How about just my life? Maybe I can't control everybody else's life. How about just my life? My life. God, would You take my life and make it a blessing to You down here, just like if I was in heaven? I believe I'm going to be a blessing to God in heaven. I believe God's going to be happy with me in heaven. I believe I'm going to be an obedient son in heaven. I believe I'm going to be a praising one in heaven. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to be there. But you know what? I want to be pleasing to Him here. Everybody's pleasing to God in heaven. You know what I want? I want to please God on earth. How about doing some pleasing God before we get to heaven? How about, Lord, Your will be done on earth like it's done in heaven. In heaven, they obey Him. They're pleased to obey Him. You know, sometimes our workers, our children, they obey us, but they're not pleased to obey us. You know, they grit their teeth, hold their head down, and yes, sir, going to do what they got to do, just being forced to do it. But, oh, you can tell the rebellion is there. That's not the way it is in heaven. Marco, in heaven, I would like for you to jump and run and do this. Yes, sir. No, I don't want to do it. No. No, that's not the way to be. You just jump up and I can please the Lord. Boom, you're gone. Wouldn't it be nice if you got a little better attitude about how you serve God down here? Reckon we'd get a little more work done? Reckon it'd be done better? Reckon we'd have a better attitude? I got to go to church. Oh, what a drag. Got to go listen to Brother Lindell drag on me, rag on me, give me a hard time. What a shame. Oh, praise God. I get to do the will of God today. Praise God, I'm walking in a fellowship of Christians. You know how good a fellowship that is? You know how swell, blessed that is? I think sometimes some of us don't think that way. We think the world's better fellowship. We think the world's more fun than the Christians are. Hey, I tell you what, praise God for the fellowship of Christians right here on the face of the earth. Because as sorry as you are, you're the best the world's got. And we're walking with the best that the world's got. That's a wonderful thing. Oh, Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. There's not hardly a one of us that prays this prayer anymore. You know why? It's give us month by month our daily bread. We don't live day by day. In Bible times, the guy worked for you paid him that day. You didn't send him home without his pay. He worked. He got his pay. He took it in his hand. He walked off with it. There weren't checks. There weren't banks. There weren't credit cards. There weren't a whole lot of the things that you and I live by. I don't know that there was any such thing as retirement. 401ks had not been discovered. No such thing as a stock market. Unions? Forget it. Give us day by day. A man didn't have, okay, I'm going to get this much money this quarter or this year. That wasn't in the picture. It was day by day. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you can't live any more than day by day. And no matter what you think you got coming month by month and year by year, it just may not be there. Hey, I hope every one of you has a wonderful, lovely retirement. You live to be 85 like Miss Bell back there, and you got enough money to take care of yourself. I'd be wonderful. Hope it all works out well for you. But let me throw a little something into the gears. It probably won't. You understand me? It probably won't. And no matter how much you're counting on that medical insurance or that retirement or this government, do you realize how many governments have fallen? Realize how many businesses have just gone out of business? The poor guys that worked for Handy Andy here about 10 years ago, Handy Andy goes bankrupt. All these employers been there 20 and 30 years, their retirement just went right out. They took it and settled it. Oh, here's a few thousand for you. Not a retirement, $10,000, $15,000 for so many years. You know who got that money? Some smart businessman. That's who got that money. And he cheated all those fellas out of what they've earned. I've been working 30 years. I'm looking forward to retiring. Well, now you start working 30 more years because you're not going to get your retirement. All these things guaranteed to you? You better pray day by day. Today is the day I have, and today is the day I live. And if by God's grace He gives me another day, praise Him for it. But I tell you what, you don't get but day by day. You can't relive yesterday. You can't do anything about tomorrow. Day by day. Now then, He said, day by day, give us our daily bread. If you had bread enough for today, then you ought to be thankful. You ought to be praising God. And ought to be in your prayers. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, some of you might have a little problem with this verse. Do you reckon? I reckon some of you might just have a problem with this verse. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Some of you are the best grudge carriers in the country. We could put you in the Olympic grudge carrying contest. You go down to Australia and take the whole thing hands down. Nobody carries a grudge like you. Some of you wise 15 years later, and you remember when? 15 years ago you said, huh? Yeah, forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive all those that are indebted unto us. Woo! You know, it's a problem. Every once in a while I think of some people that have done me wrong or hurt me, and the anger will rise up in me now. Long time later, it rises up. I think, I want to get them. I wonder, have they got theirs yet? I mean, I figure God's going to work it out, but I'd like to see it. I don't want to just trust it in God's hand that they'll get theirs. I want to see them get theirs. Isn't that right? And somebody else falls. Yeah, he got it. All right. Oh, but then I think about things like this. And see, I do believe the Bible. And oh, I'm scared of getting God on the wrong side of me. And I'd say, Lord, forgive me my desire for vengeance. Forgive me my desire for vindication. Forgive me my desire to be approved. And oh God, I've been forgiven so much. How can I not forgive? We need to be a forgiving people. We need to be a forgiving people. You gotta be forgiving. God has forgiven you. No one has ever harmed you as bad as you've harmed God. No one has insulted you as bad as you've insulted God. No one has misused you as you have misused God. Nobody. You need to be a forgiving people. You need to keep forgiveness uppermost in your mind. And when you do have some wicked, terrible thing that maybe happened in your life, God help you to work it out to where you can forgive because you've been forgiven. Many said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Boy, when's the last time you prayed a prayer like that? That ought to be in your prayers every morning when you get up. Oh God, today, don't let me fall into temptation. Lord, I'm weak. I know I'm weak. Don't let the wrong person cross my life. Lord, deliver me from evil. You know, sometimes some people are just at the wrong place at the wrong time. The wrong place at the wrong time. Man, their lives are messed up. All of us are subject to temptation. All of us have weakness for sin. Some of it may be different. Some of it may be lust for money. It might be lust for sex. It might be lust for pride or approval. There's all different kinds of sins. And we could just list them and take all morning. We have different ways we can get messed up. And some of us can get messed up on judging other people in their sin. Not even we're weak in judging people. Oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. You know, we'd save ourselves a whole lot of misery and trouble if we'd pray that prayer. Because yeah, I believe He'd hear it. I believe God would answer. This is the prayer Jesus taught you how to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you know, that's a good prayer to pray. I don't know how many times God has taken me away from the place of temptation and delivered me from evil, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know I was in a place of temptation. I didn't even know that I was in a place of evil. I did not know how far I could fall, how quick I could fall, what trouble I could be in. And sometimes I look back on my life and say, ooh, that was a dangerous spot right there. I was close right there. Oh, and I've been close so many times. I've fallen many times, but I've been close so many times. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, He delivered me from evil. He led me away from temptation. You reckon we could improve our prayer life? We just took a look at what Jesus said to pray. I think we could. Lord bless you.